Matthew chapter 25. And believe it or not, we're going to cover that whole chapter. Amen. And we're going to do it in record time. My record, not yours. You know, that could go either way, right? It could be the longest record or the shortest record. But we're going to just do our best to just glean some things I'd like to share with you from this very, very pivotal chapter, Matthew 25. Let me read a couple of verses here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered. In the midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But rather, go ye unto them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Wherefore watch. Therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Amen. I'd like to talk to you tonight for a few moments about pearls and perils of kingdom life. Pearls and perils of kingdom life. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. I think it's noteworthy tonight, the position of the 25th chapter of Matthew and its particular setting in Scripture. If you're familiar with prophecy, you'll be familiar with the 24th chapter of Matthew. The 24th chapter of Matthew is answering 3 questions that the disciples ask. They ask, when would be the time of the destruction of Jerusalem and the time of the coming of Christ and of the end of the world? Jesus then answers those questions in chapter 24. But then after he answers those questions, he immediately goes into these 3 parables. And I think that those parables have particular significance for us tonight that are living at the eve of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And here is what I think the Lord is wanting to tell us about these parables. First of all, in the parable of what we call the 10 virgins, there are some pearls that he wants us to glean. The first one is the pearl of preparation. Got to be ready, folks.
Yes, sir.
Got to be ready.
Yes, sir.
The first pearl is to have knowledge of the bridegroom. Does anybody here tonight know the bridegroom? Does anybody believe he's coming? Anybody looking for him? Hallelujah. The Bible said that he is coming for those who have made themselves ready. Now let me tell you something tonight. Your preacher can't make you ready. Your mother and your father cannot make you ready. Your wife or your husband cannot make you ready. You've got to get yourself ready. This is one meeting that nobody else can get you ready for. You've got to get yourself ready to meet the Lord tonight. So the pearl then is to be prepared because the bridegroom is coming. Amen. We know that he is on his way. Hallelujah. Praise God. He gave us some warnings. And the second pearl is to have your lamp ready and filled with oil.
Amen.
Praise God. It's got to be full of oil, doesn't it? What is a lamp? Well, it's potential light. But it doesn't have any light if it doesn't have any oil. And if it doesn't have any fire. Amen. You got to have oil and you got to have fire if you're going to have a light. Amen. Hey, folks, these are times to stay full of the Holy Ghost. These are times to be on fire for the Lord. Amen. The Bible said that he would, when he came, he would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. We need to have both tonight. Praise God. These are not the days to be flickering out. These are not the days to allow your oil to just all leak out. Amen. Praise God. If you got some leaky seals, go back and get them worked on. There's a place right here for an overhaul. Amen. Anybody ever been overhauled down here? Yes, hallelujah. That's what altars are for. They're a place to get overhauled. Right. Amen. I don't know about you, but every service, I like to visit an altar somewhere. When I hear the Word of God, I like to go down and say, Lord, what I heard tonight, I want to apply that to my life. I don't want that to run off of me. I don't want that to miss me. I don't want to lose what I heard tonight. I don't want the enemy to come and steal that seed out of my heart. I want you to apply this to me. Amen. That's what the altars are all about. That's why they're in the church tonight. Amen. And if we don't have an altar bench, that's a good kneeling place. Amen. But I don't always like to kneel. Sometimes I just like to stand there and lift my face up to the Lord. And lift my hands up to God. And look at the sunshine of His grace. And say, fill me, Lord. Fill me. Amen. Praise God. So we got to stay full of the Holy Ghost tonight. And we got to stay on fire for the Lord tonight. This is not a time to let anything happen, folks, that gets in your way. I promise you, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from making the rapture. He's going to put everything he can in your path to make you fall and make you falter. Amen. You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind. Amen. You sing that old song, I'm going through. I'm going through. Amen. We got our minds made up. No matter what others do, amen, I'll take the way with the Lord's, I like to say, chosen few. Amen. I've started out for Jesus and I am going through. Amen. Praise God. Now there's a difference, folks, in a lamp and a light. You can have a lamp and have no light. That's right. Amen. Yes, you can. You got to know the difference. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. And a lamp is a receptacle for the oil. Amen. It's not the oil, it's the receptacle. The oil is what is provided for the inside. Amen. It doesn't produce that of itself. Amen. You are a receptacle tonight for the Holy Ghost. But you're not the source of the Holy Ghost. God gives the Spirit, doesn't He? Amen. But He fills our human vessels with His precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. We need to understand that tonight. Amen. We need to understand and hear invitations and recognize opportunities. Amen. Recognize opportunities. Praise God. There's a poem written years ago. I don't know who to give the credit to. I don't remember the author. But the poem was of a battle that was going on. And a soldier in the battle had an inferior sword. And he was disgusted because it didn't shine. It wasn't pretty. It was rusty. And it was chipped in places. So he, like many people, had his eyes on the king's son. And he said, if I had a fine blue blade like he has, man, I could really be a soldier. He said, but this old thing, this is no good. And he just threw it down and walked off of the battlefield. And about that time the king's son, his sword was broken and knocked out of his hand, broken, fell to the ground. He began to retreat. His enemies were after him, and he was retreating, and all of a sudden he saw that dull sword lying there on the ground, and he grabbed it up, and he went after his enemies, and he drove them back and defeated them. Amen. You see, what for one man, he looked at it with disgust and said, if I had something better, I could do something. But since I don't have what somebody else has, I can't do anything. And he just threw it away. But somebody else, so that's an opportunity. And he grabbed a hold of it. And he went after his enemy. Hey, folks, these are days to be looking for opportunities. These are days to be looking for opportunities. I used to think often of what Brother Holly told us about a guy went to, he was selling shoes, and they sent him to a particular island, and he got there and he sent a telegraph back to the office. He said, I'm coming home on the next plane. He said, nobody over here even wears shoes. And then they sent another salesman over there. He sent a telegram back. He said, send me everything you got in the warehouse. He said, nobody here's got any shoes, and I'm going to put a pair on every one of them. Amen. You see, that's opportunity. You're going to recognize opportunity. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I think we need to be very sensitive in the Spirit of the Lord to recognize opportunity when we come in this house. Every service is an opportunity. Praise God. Every service is an invitation to receive something of the riches and the grace of God. Amen. Praise God. We have to understand the pearl of being prepared and being pure. Amen. Keep your hearts pure and spotted from this old world. Amen. That's preparation. Hallelujah. There's an ample supply of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that will keep us clean and keep us pure. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I know that we live in a world that is vile. I know that we live with filth all around us. Amen. But we don't have to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The Bible talks about the washing of the Word. That's why I think it's important to be in the house of the Lord and hear His Word. Because His Word has a washing effect. It has a cleansing effect. Hallelujah. Brother Wayne McLean told us one time he came to church and he felt so bad. He felt empty. He felt defiled. And he began to search his heart. And he said, God, what's wrong with me? He said, I don't know of anything that I've done today. I can't think of anything that I've done that was wrong. Amen. Show me if there's something I've done that was wrong today. I don't know why I feel like this. And the Lord said, He said, the reason you feel like you do is not because of anything you've done, but He said, you've been walking through a world and that it's just filthy on the outside. He said, and you got a bunch of stuff that's not on the inside, but it's clinging to the outside. Amen. Praise God. And He said, I'm going to wash that all away. And that's what worship and praise and prayer and the Word of God does, folks. It'll get you straightened out with your thinking. Anybody come to church with a muddled mind and your thoughts are all jumbled up and you're a little bit confused and you think, my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. But you spend some time with the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. You spend some time with a wise counselor. Hallelujah. You spend some time with the Word of God. Amen. And you leave out of here and your mind all of a sudden is at peace and your spirit is at rest and you go out refreshed and encouraged and certain all over again, I'm going to make it somehow. Amen. That's the power of the Word of God. We need that in our hearts today. We learn also from this parable the peril of procrastination. I heard of a meeting of the imps with the devil. They were all talking. And the devil was asking ideas for deceiving souls. One imp steps up and he says, I'll just tell them there's no God. He said, that'll work with a few, but it won't work with many. Almost everybody knows that there's a God. And another one said, well, I'll just tell them that there's no hell. And he said, well, that'll work with a few. He said, it won't work with many. He said, because they're already living it right now. And so the third one steps up and he says, well, I'll just tell them that there's a hell and I'll tell them there's a judgment, but not to worry because there's plenty of time. Plenty of time. And the devil said, you'll win millions. Procrastination. Everybody that I know intends to be saved. Just not right now. Just not right now. I intend to get right with God, brother. Just not right now. I'm going to do it, but just not right now. The peril of procrastination. I want to tell you tonight, you can't get some things at the last minute. Some things you can't get at the last minute. One of them is salvation. You can't get it at the last minute. You can't get character at the last minute. You can't get knowledge at the last minute. There's a lot of things you can't get at the last minute, folks. Some things you have to work at to accumulate. Amen. Some things, and oil's one of those. At the last minute they said, oh, the bridegroom is here. Give us your oil. They said, can't do it. You know, one thing you can't do is share your Holy Ghost with somebody else. Amen. God's got plenty of Holy Ghost for everybody. But you got to get it from Him. I wish I could. If I could give Holy Ghost to folks, I'd give it to them all day long. And you would too. But we can't give it to anybody, you see. They've got to go to the source. They've got to get it the same way you got it. Baptism in Jesus' name. Repentance. Say, amen. Infilling of the Holy Ghost. They've got to get it the way you got it. There's no shortcuts. Some things you just can't get at the last minute. And some things cannot be borrowed. Some things just cannot be borrowed. Amen. Some things you got to get for yourself. The Holy Ghost is one of those things. You can be around godly people, but you got to get it for yourself. Amen. You can actually sit on a church pew and not have it. You can be in services, good services, and not have it. Amen. You got to get it for yourself. Amen. Praise God. So there are some things that you have to get for yourself. And then there is the peril of just being superficial, being a lamp but not a light. Amen. You know, it's one thing to deceive people. That's not real hard to do. You can act like a Christian and you can deceive some folks. You can put on your spirituality and your Christianity. And you can look right and you can do all the right things. Amen. But hey, why don't you just go all the way and go ahead and be one? Don't just be a lamp. Go ahead and be a light. Go ahead and be a light. Amen. Go ahead and let your light shine. Praise God. Go ahead and be a good witness. Go ahead and be a good Christian. Go ahead and be a good example. Amen. So that's what God said I want you to do in the end time. He said, beware of being a procrastination. Beware of procrastination. And then he gives another parable we call the parable of the talents. Talents in this particular example were pieces or weights of money. Weights of money. I think it applies either way. I think what we refer to as talents also is something that's vitally important. Amen. But the first thing that we notice in the parable of the talents is that God made everybody capable to produce something. Everybody here today, God made you to be productive. And let me tell you something, you are happiest when you are producing something good. Isn't that right? Amen. We've said this before, I'll say it again. What's the reward for doing a good job? More work. Oh, brother, I just got a promotion at work. Good, you just got more work. That's exactly what you got. And you're happy about it because you're made to produce. People that are not producing are unhappy people. Amen. You know, it's very difficult for some people to adjust to what we call retirement. Some people say, man, I can't wait till I retire. And then they retire and within 2 years they're dead. They lost everything. They lost their reason for getting up in the morning. And they just sit down. When you retire, it doesn't mean you just quit, does it? I like what Brother Becton said. He said, I'm not going to retire. He said, I'm just going to redirect. Amen. Maybe that's the wrong word. Not retire, but just redirect. Redirect your energies. Amen. Praise God. But understand, you still are productive. You still got things to do. Amen. You still have great value. Amen. So the pearl of being productive is important. Amen. What we have are gifts of God. Did you know that? Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, I'm a self-made man. Well, who gave you yourself? Who gave you your breath? Who gave you your energies? Who gave you your abilities? Who gave you your talents? Who gives you your heartbeat? Amen. You better understand today, all that we have are gifts from God. God gives us the gift of life. And everything else that we have is from Him. Amen. Praise God. And then it's important to know that we all have gifts. Every one of us here tonight. Every one of us have gifts. Praise God. Now, not everybody has the same gifts. And not everybody has the same number of gifts. Amen. Everybody has value and everybody is important, but not everybody has the same abilities. Now we know that, don't we? Anybody know somebody smarter than you? Yeah, you do. Anybody know anybody dumber than you? Amen. Anybody know somebody you think's better looking than you are? Anybody know somebody you think's uglier than you are? Thank God for iguanas. Amen. Anybody know anybody richer than you are? Anybody know anybody poorer than you are? You see, there's all kinds of gifts in life. They're not all equal. Not all equal. We got all kinds of gifts and all kinds of talents and all kinds of abilities. Matter of fact, the Bible's very plain that God does not give everybody the same things. He said that to one man He gave 5 talents. To another man He gave 2 talents. To another man He gave 1 talent. Amen. Somebody said that's not fair. Well, you just take that up with God. That's His business. Amen. And so He doesn't give everybody the same gifts. Amen. But everybody gets the same reward. I said everybody gets the same reward. So God's not talking about equal gifts, but He's talking about equal effort. Amen. All of us can do something with what we have. And that's all He's asking us to do. Amen. And so what happened in the parable? The guy that He gave 5 talents to came and he was excited. He said, Lord, he said, you know what? He said, I worked real hard for those 5 talents and I made 5 more. And you know what the Lord said? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. And then the one that got 2 talents came back and he said, Lord, he said, you gave me 2 talents. And he said, I gained 2 more. And you know what the Lord said to him? Exactly the same thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Amen. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. And then the guy that just had one talent, he was hiding. He didn't want to see his Lord. And when he met him with an accusation. He said, I knew that you were a hard man. I knew that you took stuff that didn't belong to you. He said, so I took the talent you gave me and I buried it. I hid it. You see, what I want you to see first of all is the difference in how people viewed the Lord. The two productive men viewed him as this that I have, I'm going to invest because I want to please the one that gave me these gifts. And they were joyful at his appearing. But this one that hid the talent and did nothing with it, he didn't look forward to seeing the Lord. And when he saw him, look at his attitude. He said, you're a hard man. You reap where you didn't sow. You're dishonest. Did you know there's people that look at God like that? There are people that don't think God's good. There are people that think God's unjust and God's unfair. Amen. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Amen. They were accusing the Lord when he came, forgetting who he was and who they were. And so he said, I buried my talent. Have you ever had somebody, or you've heard this phrase before, somebody said, my, you have so much potential. But potential can be a blessing and it can be a curse. Potential energy is stored energy. The gasoline in your car, as long as you're not using it, it's not doing anybody any good. It's just sitting there getting weaker all the time. Amen. It's not improving any. Amen. You can say, my, I've got all this grain in my barn. And all the time rats are eating it. And it's getting mildew. You see? It's potential. It's meant to be used, isn't it? And if it's not used, then it's deteriorating. Amen. And so this man hid his gift. He didn't use it. God wants you to use what he's given you. Now listen to me. Could I just be frank with you tonight? You say, well, you always are, Brother Grissom. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, I am. Amen. I just think we all just, you know, just kind of say it like it is here. Amen. You know, I've seen more people that think themselves less gifted to have problems using what they have than people that seem to have more. How many times we hear people, oh, you know, I can't do anything. I don't have anything. I'm nobody. Huh? That's dangerous thinking, folks. That's dangerous thinking. Amen. Well, I didn't mean for it to get that quiet. Y'all are supposed to say something different here. Amen. But it's dangerous to get to thinking how little you are. And how little you have. And how little you can do. That's very dangerous to think like that. That's what this man did. And it was so and so, they can do it so much better than I can. So I'm not going to do anything at all. The offering comes by. And say, well, you know, so and so, I know he's got money. And so I'll let him give because, you know, I don't have very much. Amen. So we don't do anything. You see what I'm saying? You know what? This is a mentality that God hates. Yes, he does. Amen. God wants us to be thankful for who we are and what we are and what we have. May not have as much as somebody else, but I'm sure going to use what I have. And I'm going to do the best I can with what I've got. That's the goal, folks. You see, you may not have five talents. You may have two or you may have one, but you do have one. So just use what you have. Strive to be the best blessing that you can be. Amen. And I know there are people here that you are doing the very best that you can and the best that you know how, and I appreciate what you do. Amen. But don't ever allow the devil to tell you that because somebody else can do it better that you just don't do anything. That's the wrong way to think. That's the wrong way to think. Amen. And don't ever think that somebody else, well, they've got more time than I have. Everybody's got 24 hours. Hello. Everybody gets 24 hours in their day. Depends on what you want to do with it. Amen. Praise God. All right, I'm not going to get off on that too much here. Praise God. But you see, there's a peril of potential. Because if you don't use what you have, what happens to it? The Lord took it away. The Lord took it away. I think it's interesting. Who'd they give it to? The guy that had the most. That doesn't seem fair either, does it? But God rewards people that do much. Amen. He rewards people that do much. And so it's dangerous not to use what you have. The Lord said in the last days, He said, you beware the peril of potential. You use what you have. Put it to work. Amen. You know what else I've observed? I've seen people that had a lot of talent and didn't use it. I've seen people that could do so much. And one of the interesting things about going to Bible college is you get to all start out and you see young men, young women that come there, and they've got all kind. They're all over the landscape. Some have many talents, some have a few talents, some have just one talent. But then it's interesting as years go by to see what happens to those talents. Some of the people that were so talented and everybody said, man, they're going to go far. Well, they went far, but they didn't go far with the Lord. They didn't go far with the Lord. Amen. There's others that people didn't think would do much at all. And they've gone a lot further than people ever thought they would have. Amen. It's amazing what God does with a surrendered heart. I think often of how whenever the sons of Jesse came before Samuel the prophet. And Samuel began to look at those young men as they came by. And when they would come by, he'd say, my, surely the Lord's anointed. This must be him. And the Lord said, no, that's not the one. And then remember what he said? He said, because man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Amen. It's important tonight that we keep the heart right. Amen. And beware the peril of potential. Let's do everything that we can with what we have, because God is going to judge us for unused talents. Amen. God is going to judge us for unused talents. Praise God. You know, if God gave you 24 hours, don't you think you ought to give some of that back to Him? And if God gives you 100% of your paycheck, don't you think you ought to give a little of that back to Him? And if God gave you a certain amount of energy and ability, don't you think you ought to give a little bit of that back to Him? That's only fair and right, isn't it? Amen. All right. So we got to beware the peril of potential. Use what you have. Amen. And then the last portion of these parables, the Lord talks about the separating of sheep and goats. Very interesting. It's a little more difficult in the one sense and yet so plain in another. Beginning with verse number 31, going down to verse number 46. He's talking about when the Lord gathers the nations before Him. And verse 32 said, He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And I want you to listen to what the criteria was. Amen. Those that were sheep Verse number 34, he said, "Come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." So you see what he's saying? There's a blessing in seeing needs and meeting them. Now, you can't feed everybody, but you can feed somebody. And you can't help everybody, but you can help somebody. And you can't visit everybody, but you can visit somebody. And you can't clothe everybody, but you can clothe somebody. And you can't comfort everybody, but you can comfort somebody. You see, the importance is just doing it, doing what you can. The kindness you can show, doing what you can for somebody that is in need, and doing it with the right motive. Doing it simply out of compassion, because you want to help somebody. Not because of what you're going to get for it. Not because your name's going to be written on a plaque. Not because they're going to put a statue of you somewhere in the park. Amen. Not because of something like that. But doing it simply out of compassion, because it's the right thing to do, and because somebody has a need. Jesus said, "When you do this unto others," he said, "you've done it unto me." Amen. But the peril is to just be passive and not do anything. Amen. You gotta just do what you can. Amen. Just do what you can. Those that were goats, you see, were the same ones. They saw hungry people and didn't feed them. They saw naked people and didn't clothe them. They saw sick people and didn't help them. They saw people that were in prison and didn't visit them. They saw people with needs and didn't minister to them. And Jesus said, if you didn't do that to them, you didn't do anything to help me. Amen. And so you see, there's a peril of being passive and not doing what you know is right to do. Amen. Knowing what's right to do. Amen. Praise God. And so it's an interesting parallel here, folks. In the last days, he said, don't lose your compassion. Don't lose your compassion. Continue to reach out. And continue to help. And continue to be a blessing. And continue to do all that you can. Amen. Who was it? I forget the man that said, all that is needed for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. That's all it takes. I believe it was Edwin Markham. For just simply for good men to do nothing. Amen. Folks, we've got to do what we can. How are we going to win the world? You're going to win them one at a time. How are we going to win Athens? You're going to win them one at a time. That's right. Just one at a time. Amen. But a kind remark, a kind word, a kind deed, it still goes a long ways, folks, with people that are in need. Amen. It can still help. That's what we're here to do. There was a man in history by the name of Martin of Tours. Martin was a Roman soldier, but Martin also was a Christian. One day he was riding and he passed by a beggar that was turning blue with the cold. Martin didn't have anything to share with him except a part of his own cloak. He got down off of his horse. He took his sword and he cut his own cloak in two. And he took the half that he had and put it around the shoulders of that man that was freezing. And then he put his own short cloak back on and went away, still making himself cold, but knowing that he had done what he could to help relieve the misery of another. That night, Martin of Tours had a dream. And in the dream, he saw in heaven there were angels around the throne of Jesus. And Jesus was sitting on the throne, and he was wearing of all things half of a Roman soldier's cloak. And one of the angels said, "Where did you get that cloak, Lord?" He said, "My servant Martin gave it to me." So you see, folks, when you help somebody, the Bible still talks about entertaining angels unaware. Anybody believe that verse? We got to be careful just how we treat folks. Just treat everybody you can the best you can. Amen. Because you never know who you may be dealing with. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Hey, these last days, folks, we got to be real careful. Jesus gave us some perils, and he gave us some pearls. Amen. He said you got to beware of the pearl of procrastination. Don't put it off. Have you ever put something off and then didn't get the opportunity to do what you had wanted to do? You wanted to help somebody. You wanted to do something for somebody. You wanted to give something to somebody. Amen. You wanted to visit somebody. Be careful. That opportunity may pass you by. Amen. So when you feel like it's the right time, the opportunity's there, do it then. Say the right thing. Do the right thing. Do what you can. Don't put it off. You have an opportunity. Do what you can do. Amen. Beware the pearl of potential, not using what you have. Amen. Using the excuse, well, somebody else can do it better. Well, maybe they can, but maybe they won't. So just do it. Do what you can. Do what you can. Amen. Praise God. Do what you can. And then, of course, beware of the peril of passivity. Just being, you know, you can get almost immune when there's need, so much need around you. You just wonder, well, you know, where do I start? Well, just start with whatever's closest and do what you can. Can't do it all, but just do what you can. Amen. Just do what you can. Amen. Praise God. Just do what you can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? We're awfully blessed tonight. We've got a lot to give this old world. And we need to be about the business of getting it done, don't we? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to try to help somebody. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We get a lot of folks coming by wanting help. We can't do a lot for people, but we always try to do what we can. Amen. Praise God. Well, Brother Grissom, what if they take what I give them and don't use it right? Well, that's not my responsibility. Amen. I'm going to do what I can. I've had some get mad at me because I couldn't do more. Amen. I've been talked to kind of rough and had the window knocked out of my car. Amen. A few little things, but hey, you just do what you can. That's all you can do. Amen. You just do what you can do. Amen. But let's do all we can. Amen. Praise God. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask.
like His, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
Would you pray that one more time? Oh, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be all that we can be. Amen. Help us to use what You've given us to do what we can. Amen. I know we'd like to do more, but we got to start somewhere. Amen. We got to start somewhere. Praise God. So help us, O Lord, just to do what we can. Amen. Praise God. Help us to understand, to have revival. Let's just start with one soul at a time. Amen. To improve ourselves, help us to just change one thing at a time. To have a better prayer life, let's just start praying 1 minute at a time. Let's just start one at a time. And let's begin right now, determining, God, with Your help, I'm going to make it better in my life. In Jesus' name, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right, sir. Praise God. Amen. God, You are great tonight. We love You and thank You and appreciate You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus. Jesus, Lord,